Believe it or not, the Atlanta Hawks play basketball next Monday right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And there is a lot to dive into with the team that I think has a ton of promise this season in a certainly compromised Eastern Conference. To break all that down, let's welcome in our insider, Caleb Johnson. Make sure you follow him as well as his new podcast. Caleb, what's the name of the podcast so everybody can go check it out?
It's pretty simple. Atlanta Basketball with Caleb Johnson. So, you know, much like Joe Patrick on football, we would kind of keep it simple with, like I said, Atlanta Basketball with Caleb Johnson.
All right. We'll make sure that is everybody's clarion call right there to go check it out and download and rate, review, subscribe, and all those good things. And Caleb, you yourself got in the mix at Hawks Media Day asking the question that was on everybody's mind. What did you hear from Trae Young about his contract and where the two sides stand right now?
Yeah, I tried to go from this perspective, which is I feel like if I was the star player of a team and it seemed that they wanted me around, they wanted me to mentor the young players as they asked Trae to do last season, I feel like I would want a long-term extension done. And so I framed it to Trae as, are you disappointed that it didn't get done this off season? Granted, now there's still, you know, some time before the season begins, but it all signs point towards an extension not getting done. And he kind of started off by saying, well, I don't know if that I would say disappointed. And then he kind of stopped himself and he was like, yeah, I guess you could say disappointed. Now the part that I think was clipped, it's weird because I posted the video, Brad Rowland of Locked On Hawks posted the video, and yet there was some bigger NBA social media sites that tried to use like quotes and frame and take a section here and a section here and merge a quote together of Trae that was essentially saying, well, anything can happen. And the honest truth of what Trae said was, everyone knows my situation, which is to say everyone knows that I will essentially be a free agent at the end of the year. But what Trae was preaching to us at Media Day and what it seems like the team is very much focused on is being present. It's not worrying about how, you know, where we're going to end up in the regular season, what's our seeding going to be, how far in the playoffs are we going to make. It is that classic, you know, thing that we kind of make fun of athletes for when they get stuck in this like coach speak of taking it, I'm taking it day by day, but to some point actually living that out and saying, hey, you know, I can worry about today and learning my teammates today and trying to get better today. And then we grow from there. And so, you know, Trae also tried to hit me with like, bro, like I'm good. You know, like I got money. It's not like I'm in need of anything right now. I'm just trying to enjoy the moment and take the moment for what it is, which, as you kind of alluded to when you started the segment off, a team that on paper is the best team that Trae Young has ever had. He said so, and it's also coming at a time in which, you know, the Eastern Conference is weak.
How do you feel like from what you saw at Media Day and talking with the players and the coaching staff that this team is dealing with those expectations? You feel like they're ready to handle them?
Yeah, I think how the approach, and it's very clear that this has come from the top down. This has come from Quinn Snyder of saying, let's be present with the team. You know, let's learn each other's styles and what we're, you know, confident in and the styles that we can play well, which it's been interesting because as I've talked to Luke Kennard, as I've talked to Kristaps Porzingis, and Nikhil Alexander-Walker, you know, these new guys who have joined the team, they're all like, oh, this is a fun system. Like Quinn's style of play that is very fast-paced, that is read-based, which is so you're not doing as much sets. More so you're kind of coming down the floor quickly, and based on how the defense is set up against you is how you go about attacking them. And it seems like guys who haven't played in the system before, which would be, you know, Kristaps Porzingis and Luke Kennard, because Nikhil did have some experience with this when he played with Quinn before in Utah. It seems like the guys who are new to this are enjoying it. And like I said, well, I mean, we're only 2 days in.
46.5 is the over-under win total, according to our friends at BetMGM. Caleb, that represents a 11 total jump from last season, which is remarkable year over year. But they did over, if you want to say, over excel. I know it wasn't the ending that we wanted last season with their win total, but I feel like that number is achievable, Caleb, and I think they can win even more. I think this team has the potential to be a top five seed in the East. What do you think?
Yeah. Five seed is a good place to have. I've been putting them in that 5 to 6 range. I don't know if that will end up in like the, you know, if you can do that winning 48 games. You know, these are all nice numbers that sound really good and I think are attainable when you look at them on paper. Like, because I think a big part of talking about, you know, making a jump from last season to this season is talking about the fact that they dealt with major injuries like Jalen Johnson, who just absolutely ruined what would have otherwise potentially been a successful season. And so the caveat with this team, unfortunately, is always going to be depending on how healthy they are, because I do think this is a team that has more depth than I think they've had in quite some time. But yet a year ago, we felt like they were a bit deeper than they had been, and injuries hit them, and you had, you know, Zachary Risacher starting when he probably wouldn't have been, and you had Mo Gay playing big minutes, and the center position felt like a revolving door at times. And so 48 games is a number that I would love to have them at. I think 5th or 6th seed in the Eastern Conference. My jump in success for them is for them to make the playoffs and not be bouncing around that play-in level once again. But that is obviously very much dependent upon how healthy they stay. And I think kind of going back to the Trey conversation, I think that's why Trey doesn't have an extension right now, is because so much of this season is about proving it and being like, all right, if this team can't stay healthy, then maybe you do make some different moves and go in a different direction. You know, maybe Trey would want to do that. Maybe the team would want to do that from their perspective, and all of those sorts of things. So I think Quinn Snyder kind of acknowledged to some extent that they know there is pressure. They know there is expectations, and that's why he's preaching so hard of the, hey, let's stay present. Let's be in the moment. Let's live, you know, kind of that day-by-day sort of life.
What do you expect the plan for the beginning of the season to be for Kristaps in terms of usage?
I am very interested, Chris, in seeing how they use him, because it's funny. If you go on ESPN right now and you look at the depth chart for the Atlanta Hawks, they, much like a lot of people, have Kristaps Porzingis as a starter. I am someone who believes that may or may not happen. I also asked Onyeka Okongwu at Media Day what he expected his role on this team to be, because he earned being a starter last year over Clint Capella. And so I would wonder if he would come into camp this year, assuming, hey, I earned it, and so until it's shown otherwise, I should get that opportunity again. Now, Onyeka took the very mature, very responsible route, and he was like, I don't know what my role is necessarily right now, but I know who I am as a player and what I'm going to do for this team. And so I feel, if it were up to me, I would approach this the same way that the Hawks approached DeAndre Hunter, which was, hey, we can manage his minutes a lot better if we're bringing him off the bench versus starting him. And we can get some favorable matchups when we do that as well, because you got to think like how dominant Kristaps is at shooting the basketball is something that the Hawks certainly want to exploit. In the same respect, though, I think it was Kevin Chouinard of Hawks.com who asked Quinn about, hey, could we get iterations where Kristaps and Onyeka play next to each other? And Quinn essentially was like, yeah, it's very much on the table. Like, we've got to figure out how they all play together. But I think the excitement level for Kristaps is so high with this Hawks team. When you start talking to guys, and I was talking to Trey yesterday about like learning a player like Kristaps and how you want to play with him. And he was like, I don't really have to figure a whole lot out. Like, I know I've watched enough basketball of Kristaps playing that I'm, you know, I've kind of already got a good idea. And then when we talked to Kristaps, he was like, yeah, it was crazy how comfortable I already am with this team after only playing essentially, you know, a day with them. But it seems like to some extent, you know, guys are already kind of getting on the same page.
Before I let you go, what do you make of this Kawhi Leonard story, which is just getting crazier and crazier, where essentially the former ESPN journalist Pablo Torre on his new podcast is essentially accusing the Clippers, for anyone who missed this, of setting up through a partner fund, essentially a bank account for Kawhi Leonard to the tune of up to $25 million, where they were continuously making deposits into this like pseudo company account and giving it to Kawhi Leonard at $2 million a clip. Do you expect this thing to result into some serious punishment in LA?
Yeah, I'm very interested to see how it plays out, because I think the league has handled it in a way that disappoints me, makes me a bit weary of, you know, essentially the Clippers getting away with this, because, I mean, as far as what Pablo Torre has presented, and I think he's done a very thorough job, and in fact, I was actually talking with some colleagues recently that I think Pablo Torre has done such a thorough job that a lot of people are starting to tune out some of the new updates, because it's like, oh man, it just seems like it keeps going and going and going, and that, you know, the Clippers have essentially circumvented the salary cap by, you know, funneling money through other places that Kawhi, you know, didn't have to essentially work for getting additional money. I think the thing that is going to unfortunately come out of this is that any future deals that go on between players and teams, they're going to be far more sneaky about it and make sure that appearance-wise, everything looks like it's on the up and up. As far as what happens with the Clippers and, you know, if there's any suspensions or fines or anything like that, hearing Adam Silver say that he had never heard of aspiration until this whole thing came up was very concerning, because aspiration was about to fork over like $300 million at one point to be a jersey sponsor of the Clippers. And so, like, clearly that would have gone through, you know, the league office. So I don't know that we'll get any resolution anytime soon. And unfortunately, I don't know that we'll necessarily get the, you know, the justice that everyone is looking for. But I hope that it is taken seriously, because if not, if the Clippers are just given a slap on the wrist and the league says, well, we really couldn't figure anything out, then it will very much likely, you know, incentivize other teams who aren't doing this to, you know, to find their own ways of circumventing the CBA. And it seems like Pablo is already investigating the New York Knicks, because, you know, Jalen Brunson and Bridges up there, like, they took team friendly deals, which were very bizarre. And now it's like, oh, well, did you get some side deals, you know, with Dolan up there, or was everything above board? It's certainly going to be interesting how it plays out. And I quite honestly, I've got no clue which way.
Yeah, me either. It's fascinating. Again, if you missed it, go to Pablo Torre on Twitter, and he has the full investigative scope about this potential, as Caleb said, salary cap circumvention is the perfect way to put it. And that's a big no-no in the NBA. We'll see what happens. Caleb, thanks as always. We'll chat soon.
All right. Sounds good, man.
All right. That is Caleb Johnson, our Hawks reporter there. Yeah, we could do a whole hour on that story. That thing is absolutely crazy. But again, the bottom line, looks like the Clippers are being accused of knowingly funneling money into a side corporation that essentially worked as a second contract for Kawhi Leonard to the tune of like $25 million. Yeah, okay. Interesting. Let's talk Brian Snicker when we get back. Obviously, the biggest story here in the A is Snit stepping down. We'll bring in our buddy Lindsey Crosby of Braves Today. Who does he think could replace Snit? We'll talk about that and a whole lot more next.